Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to start my timer here just to keep myself honest. That's a necessary discipline for me, as some of you would have found out already this weekend. I want to begin, first of all, just by saying thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be with you this week. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back with you. I've had so many good conversations just in that this short time that we've been together. It is a real blessing for me. I bring greetings from our Alliance workers and National Church partners in the Europe part of the world. My wife Carrie and I, that's us with our five kids, six as you count our daughter-in-law there on the screen. Carrie and I work as teams developers, and we serve on the regional leadership team for our 87 and counting access workers and their partners in the Europe part of the region. We also, my wife in particular, I in a lesser way, also have the opportunity to serve workers through Alliance member care. And we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for your prayers. We want to thank you for your support of Alliance work and Alliance workers like us around the world. Our workers doing what God has called them to do around the globe can only do what God has called them to do because they are our sending ones who join us in the work. We can only do what God has called us to do as sent ones because you are faithful and obedient to do what God calls us all to do as sending ones. And I can see that you all are doing that well, and I thank you for that. Right off the bat this morning, I want to begin with an ask, and it's a simple ask. The ask is this: if you would like to stay connected, if you would like to continue to pray for the Dresslers and for our work in Europe, I'd like to invite you to pull out your phone and take a picture of that QR code, or you can grab one of our prayer cards from the entryway of the church. You'll find a QR code. We use it's a fairly new platform called Epistle. Maybe some of you are already using this. This is both a web and app and email-based way of receiving updates, but also interacting with the workers that you partner with, the workers that you love. The way that I use it a lot these days is you saw that map of Europe and many of those places where I am partnering with workers on the ground. So I spend a lot of time in transit, and I make it a regular practice, often as I am sitting in the airport waiting for a plane, to send out just a short update with some prayer requests of what we feel the assignment for the Lord is for this time together. What are things that are on our hearts, on our minds? What are some of the things that we're going to be encountering and facing as we go into various contexts? And it is so encouraging to send out that update, those prayer requests, and within this particular format, people respond in real time and say, we are praying with you, we're praying for you. How encouraging to know that we are partnering together in this way. So we encourage you to take advantage of that. Some of you know that Carrie and I, our family, after 14 years serving in the Middle East, we find ourselves these days based out of the Black Forest, Condern, Germany. That's where our regional offices for our access work in Europe and the Middle East and Central Asia are located. We're also co-located with the Black Forest Academy. On the screen, you can see a picture of the full staff of Black Forest Academy. Actually, in this last year, I've had the opportunity to do organizational training for everyone in that picture. They're great partnership opportunities, but actually, my wife who is an Alliance member care professional. She's a licensed counselor. Carrie spends at least 4 days a week coming alongside counseling international worker kids from all over the region, but many of them from all over the world. It's a great way to partner. We know and understand that workers could not remain on the field in many cases if there weren't safe, nurturing, Jesus-centered educational opportunities for their kids. And so as we partner with Black Forest Academy, we also feel like we have an opportunity to partner with our workers and workers of other organizations all over the world. I also have had more time in the last number of years to connect with younger Jesus followers. Some of our Gen Z and Gen Alpha brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, when we think about international workers, we know international workers are people who learn language and we learn culture for the sake of the gospel. And as I've had opportunity to volunteer with, coach, and work with students in BFA, I sense very much that I am learning new language. And I'm having to learn new culture. To work with this particular generation, I've had to learn new language. I've had to learn words like riz and sigma and skibbity. Some of those I think I can define. Others I have absolutely no idea what they mean. But I also remember that in my youth, more than a few years ago, we also had our own language. We had our own jargon. And one term that particularly stands out from my youth is this one, this term radical. Anybody remember radical? Yeah, yeah. This term actually became part of our shared American English language in the 1970s. It emerged out of that California surfer culture when radical initially was used to describe a particularly gnarly or tasty wave. But it came to be used to describe anything that was extreme, anything that was excellent, anything that was out of the ordinary. It worked its way across the United States in popular culture. It was made popular by such pop culture icons as the great American Bart Simpson. Remember Bart Simpson? Radical. Now, probably you're saying, Scott, what is the point here? There is a point. Actually, this is my proposition for today. My proposition for today is that missions is radical. Missions is radical. And if we're going to make all of Jesus available to all the world, it is going to require something radical from all of us, from each and every one of us. Let me unpack that this morning. If you look at dictionary definitions of the term radical, we find that this is used in fields as broad as chemistry and mathematics and music and linguistics. We're going to focus for our purposes this morning on three particular definitions of the term radical. Meaning, number one, this comes from the Latin word radix, which simply means root. Radical means something that is essential, something that is foundational, something that is proceeding from the root. Definition number two that we want to talk about, radical means revolutionary. It means something very different from the traditional, from the usual. Definition number two, radical means extreme. And then finally, a third definition, radical. This is radical as it was used, and I hope we're not going to get too academic here. This is radical as it was used by Bill and Ted in their adventure. This is radical as used by those other pop culture icons, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Radical means excellent. And we're going to talk about that together. But first, let's look at definition number one. And we may ask the question, how is missions radical in the sense that it is essential or foundational? How does it come from the roots? Well, certainly if you've been around this movement for God that we're part of called the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we can see how missions comes from our roots. In fact, this movement for God was born out of a vision to reach the immigrants that were flooding into the United States, and in particular, those that were flooding into New York City. This was taking place in the 1880s, and this was a time, this may be hard to imagine, try to conjure this image in your mind. This was a time when the church in America was not sure how to respond to immigrants. Some were feeling quite unwelcoming. There were real concerns, genuine concerns about economic realities. Is there enough for all of us? There were real concerns about their ethnicity, their religious background. Would they assimilate? Against this backdrop, the founder of this movement, A.B. Simpson, saw that God was doing something in the world and felt called to reach out and minister the love and gospel of Jesus to these communities and to invite them to be part of the In Christ community, to be part of the church. Simpson wrote that he envisioned a church with thousands of members of no particular class, but of rich and poor side by side. He believed that, quote, Jesus' great sacrifice and redemptive message was for all races, all ethnicities, all classes, all people. And that was just as true here in our cities, here in the United States, as it was anywhere in the world. And he believed that the church was called to reach out across the street or across the oceans to all people with the love and the transformational message of the gospel. He and those who responded became part of a growing movement, believers of like faith, like heart. They established a church that we are all part of today, but they also established a global movement to bring Jesus and the gospel to the least reached people on earth. So, those are important roots to reflect on this morning when we think about mission being radical. Mission is from our roots. But there are certainly more important and deeper roots for us to think about this morning. Missions is not optional. It is not an afterthought. Mission is not a cleanup operation. Missions is essential. It has always been part of God's foundational plan, his global redemptive purposes for the world. It has always been part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's always been part of what it means to be a disciple. In fact, we could say it this way, that from his first invitation to his final commission, Jesus has always invited all of his followers first into deeper life in him, because all of our life, all of our witness must flow out of him. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do any part of this in our own power. So it begins with our deeper life in him, but also we are called to go out on mission with him across the street and to all the world. Jesus invites his disciples from the very first to join with him on his mission in the world. We can see this in Matthew chapter 4. We'll take a look at that. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus calls them, saying, come and follow me, and I will send you out to to fish for people. And we read that at once they left their nets and they followed him. So Jesus' first invitation to his disciples, come and follow me, actually also comes with a mission statement. Come and follow me and I will send you out. Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus, like, this is mind-boggling to me. I sometimes try to put myself in the place of those early disciples. I wonder how much background or context they may have had by this moment in their lives. But imagine, Jesus is already talking about sending before his first disciples know for sure that they are on board with the following. I look at that and say, the two are essentially linked together. We see this also in Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel makes it abundantly clear. In chapter 3, we read, then he appointed the 12 so they would be with him. Again, it begins in relationship with Jesus, so they would be with him, and that he could send them out to preach and to minister the gospel in power. And we know that this part of discipleship was not just something for the first disciples. It was not only part of the program for the 12, because we famously see this in the passage that we have come to call the Great Commission. Jesus commands his followers to go and make more disciples from all of the nations, and he commands his disciples to teach them what? To teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded them. To teach us, we're part of that group, to teach us to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And that comes with a promise, the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ's presence. Surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, if we had time, I could restart my clock here. If we had time, we could go back even to deeper roots. We could look at how God's plans for the nations are seen in the preaching of the prophets. We could look at God's desire for the nations as seen in the Psalms. We could walk our way all the way back to Abraham and see God's plan to bless all nations through Abraham's seed. We could walk back to the garden and see how we are all created to be in right relationship with God, right relationship with one another, and be fruitful and fill the whole earth. My point is this. Missions is radical because it's foundational. It's right from the roots. It is a non-negotiable. It is an essential part of being a Jesus follower. Let's move on to definition number two. Missions is radical because it is revolutionary, because it is different from the usual, because it is extreme. How so? Well, if we're going to reach the least reached people in the world, and in fact, if we're going to reach the least reached people around us here in this community, it means that we are going to have to embrace a way of living, values, a heart orientation that is very different than the society around us. It means that we are called to a different kind of, I would say a radical kind of love. We will be called to a radical kind of obedience, and that is going to require a radical kind of faithfulness. Think about it. The gospel and the example of Jesus compels us to love our enemies, to love those who we may perceive to be our enemies, to love those who genuinely make themselves to be our enemies. Jesus compels us share his love with the outsiders, with the outcasts. These things are truly radical things. It is a radical way of living. The gospel of Jesus then really compels us to reorient our lives, our lifestyle, our values in radical ways for the sake of our witness, for the sake of the true gospel. For some, the choice to follow Jesus is truly extreme. I was sharing yesterday that we served for 14 years in a place where 98% of the overall national community was from a different religious group and background. We were often serving in communities where 100% of the community members were not followers of Jesus. In this context, it was understood that for these men and women to make a decision to become followers of Jesus, it would cost them something. It was an extreme decision. It could cost them certainly their families and their friendships. It would often cost them their employment. It could cost them their home. It would certainly cost them their status in community. It could certainly cost them their safety. For some of those, it would prove to cost them their lives. And you may hear stories like that and say, yeah, that really is extreme Christ following. That really is extreme discipleship. But then again, isn't this what we are all called to? Isn't this what we are called to when we became followers of Jesus? Didn't Jesus say this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 26? If anyone would come after me, here's what you need to do. Let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus is making this statement on the before side of the cross. What a radical statement to make. If anyone wants to come after me, they've got to be ready to sit down in the electric chair. Jesus, what do you mean by that? Whoever would save their life would lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. We read similar teaching in Matthew chapter 10. Again, this is on the cusp of mission. This is as Jesus is sending out the 12 on mission, and he sends them with some pretty daunting warnings. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Well, that's an interesting invitation. That's a great tagline. You'll be dragged before the courts and authorities. You'll be handed over to be flogged. Whole families will be divided. You'll be hated. Only those who endure to the end will be saved. You'll be chased from city to city. Who's ready to sign up? Who's ready to sign up for mission? Jesus continues. He says, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. It will divide families. It will divide communities. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me, Jesus says, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he'll find it. That's pretty daunting. That surely underscores the extreme, radical nature of mission. But I want to point out that Jesus also sends his first followers out on mission with a pretty radical promise. It's the promise of the Spirit's presence. It's the promise that in the needful time, the Spirit will give you the words to speak. At times, the Spirit will literally speak through you, that Jesus will authenticate the witness with power. He gives them a reminder that this call, and I'm saying this morning, our call, the call for all of us, is a call ultimately to radical identification with Jesus. A call to radical identification with Jesus. Jesus says it this way, it is enough for the disciple that they may become like their teacher, for the servant their master. And as we've seen, because Jesus has commissioned the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples and teach them to obey all that he has commanded them, there's no portion of this teaching of Jesus that is not for all of us as well. Missions is still a costly endeavor. It requires sent ones who are willing to reorient their lives and take costly steps of obedience in the going. But it also requires sending ones who are willing to reorient their lives and take costly, faith-filled steps of obedience in the sending, in the caring, in the praying, in the partnering, and if Jesus should ask, in the going as well. How can they go unless they are sent? So this is radical stuff. This is radical stuff that we're talking about. Living this way is certainly the opposite of the American dream. That says, I need to maximize my earnings, I need to maximize my status, I need to maximize my comfort, I need to maximize my stuff. If those things are feeling like idols to you, if any of those things has a particular gravity or a particular draw, well, praise the Lord, because that makes it very clear what we need to do. Idols must be broken down. Idols must be burned. We are called, we are invited to take up our cross and follow Jesus, but not in our own strength. As we lean in, he provides what we need, even for that initial step and those continuing steps of obedience. Missions is radical because it requires a radical, revolutionary shift in values and the kind of extreme love and obedience and faithfulness that, in fact, we are all already called to. And finally, we come to the third definition of radical. This is the one we take from those great scholars, Bill and Ted. This is radical, meaning excellent. So how is mission excellent? Mission is excellent to the extent that it is for, and it is fueled by, and it is rooted in a gloriously excellent God who is worthy of all of my life and all of my sacrifice and all of my service and all of my worship and all of yours too and all of the worship of every person in every nation all over the world. The psalmist says it this way in Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Or again, in one of my favorite psalms, I think one of the most powerful missionary psalms, Psalm 67, we read, God be gracious to all of us. Remember, this was a special blessing that was particularly prayed on the people of Israel by the high priest as it was first iterated in the scripture. It used the very specific, very national, particular name of God that was uniquely revealed to the people of Israel. And it was a blessing that was for you. So it's very interesting to me that the psalmist changes some of the lyrics to this favorite song of Israel, and now he uses the broadest, most general name for God that would have been widely understood among not just the people of Israel, but their neighbors as well. God be gracious to all of us. God bless all of us and cause his face to shine on all of us. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. That is such a powerful and important line of the psalm. Our engagement is in mission is not because God has a desire to cruelly bend us to his will, or to wipe out our individual identities or our human cultural identities. No, it is because this is what we were created for. It is only when we become worshiping people, it's only when we embrace Him that we ever truly discover our true identity, our true self. And it is only as worshiping people, coming into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that we are truly filled with joy and gladness. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Missions is radical because missions is excellent, in that it is rooted in and for and fueled by an excellent God and His most excellent global redemptive purposes. So my proposition today has been this: missions is radical, and if we are going to make all of Jesus available to all of the world, it's going to require something radical from all of us. So, we could talk about what radical steps of faith or obedience it will take to complete the Great Commission, to advance the gospel to the hardest places around the world. We could talk about that in group together. But perhaps the most important question is a far more personal iteration of that question. And that is this: what radical step of love or faith or obedience is God calling you to today? Take some time to think about that and to think about our response to that.
We invite the worship team to come up, and we want to take some time to focus on this question that Scott just left us with. This idea of what radical step are you going to take next? As we enter into this whole idea of responding to this missions week, this is an opportunity to let God speak into that.
Yeah, so as Scott said, what do we do now? You've heard a lot over this course of Missions Week and even in the months past. This is a phrase that the Alliance uses: all of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. And here at Emmanuel, we kind of have these five words that encapsulates what missions looks like for us. The first one we have is love. And pray. And give. Send. And go.
These words are before you on these posters being held up by people who are here. It's an opportunity for you to look at these words and let the Holy Spirit work in you to say, what would your next step be? What would your next step be in any direction we're offering to you today that would align with one of these words? Or maybe you have another, maybe it's more than one for you. So we're going to offer an opportunity for you to respond to this message, respond to this week. We're going to read through some primers for you just to help you be thinking down through these words. But as we do, we want to just pray that the Holy Spirit would just be speaking to you. And that you would be answering the question, how am I going to respond in a radical step towards Jesus? And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that while we sing our final song. And to do so, what we're asking is that as God prompts you, when we start singing a song, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but when God prompts you, we want you to come to the front. Get out of your seat, walk up to the front. There are markers that there are people are holding with the signs. We want you to sign your name on the board itself that they're holding. Sign your name as a statement of commitment to, I'm going to take a radical step in this direction. That's what God's calling me to do. All right, we're going to read through some primers just to help you think about it. There's a lot more that we're just giving you three for each, just to give you an idea to let you start thinking through this, what this might look like. But would you allow the Holy Spirit just to speak into your life as we do this?
Yeah, so the first one, love. What does love look like? Maybe that's signing up for the first time to the letters from our IWs. Maybe that's taking the initiative to, when you receive that letter, to read it and respond and let them know, hey, we're praying for you. Maybe that's getting the birthdays of the IW kids on the field and sending them a happy birthday or getting gifts to send to them. Maybe that's opening your eyes to the community around you, where you live, where you work, where you spend your time, and getting to know that local community that's right near you.
Pray. So what if we take these IW cards we've had this week and place them in a spot in our house where it reminds us to pray for them, or sign up on their app to connect with that, as Scott invited us to. And when he sent out those prayer requests, to commit to praying for those. To attend our, we do a quarterly Wednesday night prayer meeting here, just focused on our IWs. Commit to praying for that, attending those. How about committing to pray daily for those friends of yours that don't know Christ yet?
And give. We talked this week about the faith pledge cards and the Great Commission Fund. Maybe you haven't signed up for one of those and pledged to give. Maybe the Lord would prompt you to give for the first time. And if you're already giving, maybe he would prompt you to increase your giving, to give more to the Great Commission Fund, or make a first-time pledge for a faith card. Maybe that's the love offering for our IWs this week. Maybe that's setting aside money to give toward the missions trips here at Emmanuel, the Costa Rica trip, as Brett and Aubrey depart.
Send. How about releasing your children or grandchildren to serve in full-time ministry? To join with Brett and Aubrey in supporting them and their team as they prepare to launch, go overseas, or even investing in Ezra and Daisy as they're beginning to develop that and heading out towards their future ministry.
Maybe this looks like going to go. Maybe it's talking to one of us here on staff or someone you know in the church that's connected, and you feel that stirring up in your heart to go. Talk to someone about that. Walk through them with that. What would that look like? Maybe it's committing to go on a short-term mission trip, whether it's to Envision in Atlanta or Uruguay or wherever the Lord is leading you. Maybe it's getting involved in a local ministry that meets the needs of your community, to love your neighbor across the street, to the people in your life.
That's just some things to get you thinking and allow the Holy Spirit to stir something in your heart. Can be way bigger than than what we've put on these screens. So what we're going to do now is we're going to engage in worship. I'm just going to ask you to remain seated at this point and just to be open in a posture of prayer as you sing along and as you listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And think about one of these words and feel free at any time to get up from your seat, to come up here, sign your name as a statement of commitment to take a radical step for Jesus. Once you've signed your name, you can go back and sit in your seat. Just come and go as you like. If you want to sign multiple cards, you're welcome to do that. At the end of our time, after we're done singing, we are going to have Scott come and just pray over us. Pray over these names that are on the cards as well as all of us. So that's what we're going to end in this song here today. So would you just be in a spirit of prayer and engage as we sing together.